You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. We are hoping you guys will be continuing to light that up throughout the regular season. You guys have already started with a handful of voicemails and a ton of text messages, so keep doing that throughout the regular season. We'd love to hear from you. 331-979-1369. Well, damn it, Matt. 3 games into the season, we recorded episode, and if things didn't already seem like they were off to a bad start, things get even worse. Chris Dunn out 4 to 6 weeks with a sprained left MCL, and I am on suicide watch at this point.
Tank, tank, Tankadelphia. Tank, tank, Tankadelphia. Shut it down. Shut it down. Oh, my God. I am so disappointed. I am... I don't even want to say, man. Today's news was just so... so gut
wrenching. This is so Bulls, man. This is so Bulls. And I'm not even mad at... I'm not mad at the Bulls, and I'm not mad at Chris Dunn. I'm just... It's tough. It's really tough when Lauri Markkanen, your star, your budding star, your baby, your child, all of a sudden gets injured and he's out for the first 2 months. And then you get hit with a Denzel Valentine injury for 2 or 3 weeks. And now Chris Dunn finally coming back last night, and now he's out 4 to 6 weeks. Matt, I don't know where to turn. I know Bulls cynicism has been at its all-time high, peaking just after 3 games and having a field day on Twitter yesterday. Can you please talk me through this Chris Dunn injury and how I'm going to get through the next 20, 25 games without him and without Lauri Markkanen?
Like, I got nothing for you, Jordan. I have absolutely nothing for you. Okay, no, that's a lie. I do have something. Silver lining. I thought that it was in the Bulls' best interest to be tanking again this season anyway. If you're being realistic, no, I'm not lucky. I take no pleasure in this. I was really looking forward to watching Chris Dunn for a fully healthy 82 game season because I really wanted to believe in him as a part of this team's future. That becomes harder now. But if the Bulls are well below 500 by the time Markkanen and Dunn come back, go get yourself another top 3 pick because you failed to do that last time. So maybe actually do it this time. And maybe you can get yourself somebody like Zion Williamson or RJ Barrett or one of the other elite talents in this 2019 draft class, because there aren't many of them. There aren't many of them, and guess what? For all of the optimism that Bulls fans had about this season, to the crazy optimistic like our pal C-Red, Fred, to the just slightly more, you know, generalistically optimistic as far as like glasses half full, not half empty. Hey, LaVine's talented, Dunn's talented, Markkanen's a great guy. Rookie's going to be a phenomenal rookie. You know, Wendell's going to blow us away. Maybe we'll get a seventh or an eighth seed. To those people, I would have said, I think you're still reaching a little bit, but I can at least appreciate your optimism. Now, it's like, all right, well, where's the optimism? Where is the optimism? These Bulls look like one of the worst teams in the league through three games. Yeah, it's a small sample size, but it's a sample size. Their net rating is the worst in the league through their first three games. They can't stop anybody on defense. Zach LaVine has minimal help. Now he has even less help with no Chris Dunn, no Markkanen. The urge to shut this down, and if I am in the Bulls' position, say, all right, we're going to do Tankathon Part 2, is immense. The urge to do that is immense right now.
Yeah, I said, you know, a few weeks ago when we were talking to through our preview that I was like, there's no way this team goes 3-20 again to start the season. There's just absolutely no way. Well, there is a way. Yeah.
Ring-a-ding-ding. Here we
and
are.
Now, the worst part is to... I hate to say that I might have jinxed it on Twitter last night because, you know, after a few nice plays from Chris Dunn, things that we were seeing, finally getting him back in the rotation, I was like, damn, tweeted out, you know, so glad to see Chris Dunn back, and now it's getting, quote, tweeted left and right. So, yeah, that's where we sit right now. So 4 to 6 weeks at this point, Matt, and I'm sure that the Bulls are in no timetable to rush him back either, and they shouldn't at this point. Without a Lauri Markkanen, until he returns, like at the very least, there's no reason to push Chris Dunn back sooner than he needs to. So
not when you got campaign steering that big old tank, baby.
Well, I'm glad that you brought campaign up because now let's look at the point guard position for a minute.
Oh, do we have to?
Yeah, we do. Outside of the fact
Can our listeners tell that we're recording this late on Tuesday night when I am so ready to be done with this bullshit?
It's been an entire day of just trying to backstroke and talk ourselves out of Chris Dunn pain, and it's tough. So I guess the one thing I want to hit on before we get to our interview with ESPN play-by-play broadcaster and rising star in this industry, Adam Amin, who is on the Bulls broadcast on Monday night against Dallas. He joined us for an awesome conversation. Before we get to that, though, real quick, let's be real for a second. Talking about what these games are going to look like now through the next 25 or so games without Markkanen, without Dunn, what does the point guard situation look like? It's a good thing. You know, we joked on last week's episode or yesterday's episode about the fact that we just keep plucking Suns point guards that are left astray, and now it's to the point where it's like, yeah, you're going to actually probably have to use those guys. So
have the Suns waived yet another point guard recently, like within the last 24 hours? can we pick up another one?
Yo, Marquise Teague is still in the G League if we want him.
Oh, gross. I honestly, like, I don't know where Fred goes from here. The Bulls fans who were saying, look at the great game Archie Diakono had. Yeah, he was playing against the Sixers third string in garbage time.
Yep, thank you.
Blakeney is a microwave scorer off the bench and nothing more, and he can't play a lick of defense. Campaign certainly has his faults. We're all aware of what they are. We know he has his limitations. We know what those limitations are. At this point, I am so just feeling whatever about this. Throw Tyler Ulis in there. Throw Shaq Harrison in there. See what you got. If anything, see what you got. Because nobody in Chicago is excited about Archie Diakono, except those who are overvaluing a garbage time fourth quarter performance. Nobody's excited about watching campaign play starting minutes. So take the guys that we haven't looked at closely yet and see what you got. Because, yeah, like to me, that is, as a Bulls fan, objectively right now, that is the answer. I am done watching campaign as a starting point guard on this team. I don't believe in Blakeney as anything more than a bench scorer. I don't believe in Archie Diakono as a starting point guard, and I barely believe in him as a bench point guard. You added these other pieces, throw them in there, see what you got, and let's tank our way back to the top.
What about moving Zach LaVine from the two to the point guard position and starting? I don't know, a lineup that consists of Zach LaVine, Antonio Blakeney, Justin Holiday, Bobby Portis, and Wendell Carter Jr. Like,
I mean, Fred has to seriously consider it.
Because you can't, like, after what we saw through the first handful of games in the preseason and then just the first two games without Dunn, you're not winning games with Cameron Payne as your starting point guard playing 25-plus minutes. It's just not going to happen. It's not a reality at this point.
And clearly, LaVine has been their best offensive player. And the Bulls' offense has looked the best through their first three games when it's been running through Zach LaVine, who, good for him, spoke up after their loss to Dallas and said, yeah, I probably should have had the ball more towards the end of that game. And he was right. So, like, the one hang-up is that LaVine isn't great distributing. He's not a great facilitator. He's not great racking up assists and getting looks for his teammates. But at this point, the best option the Bulls' offense has is Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine has the ball. Zach LaVine scores the ball. So, better option than Cam, better option than Archie Diacono, probably a better option than starting either Tyler Ulis or Shaq Harrison. Let this offense continue to run through LaVine and let Fred figure out which point guard it on his bench sucks the least, and we'll go from there.
I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but I had no idea Shaq Harrison was even a point guard in the NBA before the Bulls had picked him up from the Suns. It's just being me, but I don't know what you get from Ulis, and I don't know what you get from Harrison. And Archie Diacono, no thanks. Like, coming off the bench, sure, for 20 minutes, okay, fine. And that's because you have to out of necessity. But like you said, I think I want to see Harrison at least a little bit. I want to see Ulis at least a little bit. And at this point, man, you know, I tweeted it out. Chandler Hutchison has to play. At this point, you have to play him, see what you have in him. Play Harrison, play Ulis, play Archie Diacono, play Payne, as much as it kills us to see it. Play all of these guys and see what you have. Help go ask Benny the Bull to play point guard for you at this point, because the carousel that's going on right now, I don't know. If you're in a position now that you're so depleted that you need to rely on some of these guys, so let's see them. And that's what you're going to see with Chandler Hutchison. He better be out there 25-plus minutes a night until Dunn and LaVine return and Denzel Valentine return. Hey,
I mean, Hutch did leapfrog Blakeney and Archie Diacono in that game against Dallas, and it probably some of that was because Fred saw that Dallas was going bigger with their lineup, so he wanted to counter with Hutchison, who has more size than those guys. But still, he's a rookie that you spent the 22nd overall pick on. He is the prize from the Nico trade. I don't care if Hoiberg and his coaching staff are concerned about the slow release on his shot. He is a rookie that you made a draft promise to as an organization. Find ways to give him minutes, because if he can't see the floor with yet another injury to this roster, it makes the front office look even worse.
Don't kill me for this last question before we get to our interview with Adam Amin. Do you entertain the idea at all to go out and trade for a point guard at all? You look around the league. I don't know.
Why?
You're
Why?
Right. You're right. Why?
Why?
Because the carousel that you have here shouldn't even be starting on the Windy City Bulls. Let's be frank about it.
Yeah, that's a good thing for a team that should be banking for another high lottery pick in 2019.
Okay. You're right.
Throw all of the Phoenix Suns trash heap discarded backup guards into this rotation, and let's get to 3-20 again.
6 weeks gets you to the first week of December, starting from now. I would imagine if it's any longer than that, we're probably looking at a timetable similar to Lauri Markkanen. So I would expect if everything goes to the latter point of 6 weeks, we'll see Markkanen and Dunn return probably around the same week. Hopefully no setbacks, knock on wood. And that puts you through about the first 22 games of the season. So yeah, it's going to be an uphill battle. But for you listeners out there staying with us here, we appreciate it. Continue to listen to us all season long. I promise you we will get you through these first 20-25 games of this season, just like we got you through the summer, didn't we?
We got through a long and trying summer. We got through a long and trying rebuilding season. And we will get through this. Whatever obstacles the Bulls as an organization throw at us fans, we will be here to talk it through every day, Monday through Friday.
Well, without further ado, here is Bulls broadcaster from Monday night's game against Dallas and rising play-by-play star at ESPN, Adam Amin.
He hasn't made one. Make him shoot that.
Let him shoot that at this point. Levine!
Oh, my goodness, Zach
get
Levine!
Up or get out the way! Woo!
Dallas is averaging better than 20 points per game in the early going this season. How about the challenge by Carter?
I guess he didn't check the scouting report.
And Bobby throws it down at the other end.
Right now, we're very pleased to welcome the Locked On Bulls for the first time, Adam Amin. He is a play-by-play guy for ESPN. You can catch him doing all kinds of things. College football on Saturday this past weekend, NFL game on Sunday, and then his first of many fill-in roles for Neil Funk, covering Bulls with Stacey King on the road for the Bulls this regular season. Also, who could forget him calling UConn Notre Dame as part of that women's NCAA Final Four tournament earlier this year. The guy is a star doing sports play-by-play, and he's a Chicago native and a pretty big Chicago sports fan. Adam, welcome to Locked On Bulls. We're so happy to have you here.
No, I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So first off, congrats on the new gig. I really enjoyed, and I know Jordan did too, your call of Bulls Mavs on Monday night. Tell us a little bit about that experience. I loved your tweet, how you were saying like you were a kid growing up watching MJ and Scotty and Stacey playing on the court together. Here you are sitting courtside with him calling the game. What was it like to be in that seat and calling a game with Stacey King?
Yeah, just a little surreal, man. Like, I never really thought about being in that position or anything like that. It was just, you know, I like watching the Bulls on TV. So that was a big deal for me. And it's just a lot of fun to work with Stacey, and he's a pro and a blast to work with. As you guys well know, he's got a massive personality and great charisma, and he's just really fun and entertaining and really informative. And I think we had a good time together. I hope he enjoyed it as much as I did.
Looking at on the court, what you saw last night from the Chicago Bulls and maybe through their first three games, and even some of what you saw from the Mavericks, obviously Bulls fans here, the most surprising news of the day is Chris Dunn being out 4 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain. This team seems to be a magnet towards injuries, at least in the last handful of months here, with Markkanen being out and Denzel Valentine being out and now missing Chris Dunn. Where do you see this Chicago Bulls team going into this NBA season now without Markkanen for a length of time, without Chris Dunn? What were your kind of expectations, maybe as a fan and also as a broadcaster who covers the NBA? What are your expectations for this Bulls team? And now that the Bulls have suffered all these injuries, where you see it going from here?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe a marked improvement, obviously, was the biggest thing. Just to see this team get into the 30s in the win column. You know, obviously, to get to 40 is a great goal right now. I think it's certainly a possibility to get to the eighth seed. There's obviously a long way to go. So we're not even remotely into a chunk of the season yet. So no time to panic or anything like that, but certainly frustrating to see the injuries pile up, especially with Chris Dunn just coming back, making a season debut. Markkanen, you know, good news. He has the brace off, so that's positive. As well. Unfortunately, Denzel with a bit of a setback, so another couple of weeks. It's going to be tough to get a real rotation going. It's going to be tough to, you know, without having a bunch of youth in it. You know, that's the thing. That Denzel is at least a few years in. You have some experience there. Chris Dunn's got some time under his belt now, so you're hoping to have these guys who are, you know, a little further along to be in the rotation. Unfortunately, that's not going to be the case for a while.
Last night, we saw Zach LaVine have another spectacular performance against the Dallas Mavericks. Just from seeing him in person and watching the first few games here coming off the ACL injury, what has been your impression of Zach LaVine, and what should Bulls fans expect this season going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's when you join some rarefied company, Michael Jordan and Bob Love, in terms of starting a season with 30-plus point performances like that, you know, obviously it's impressive. And it's not like he's a volume guy last night. You know, he was very efficient in his offensive game. He wasn't forcing things. He was doing it in the flow of the offense, which is always a positive. I think the athleticism that Zach possesses is as good as anybody's in the NBA. Stacey made a comparable, made a solid comparison, I should say. It's kind of comparable to Russell Westbrook in some ways, to Damian Lillard in some ways, just the level of explosiveness that he brings to the table. But, you know, I think we need to still need to see it at the defensive end of the floor a little bit more on a little bit more consistent basis. And that's not just Zach. That goes for a lot of guys, obviously. That's been a major factor in these first three losses. So I still think he's got a lot of upside. He's young, still coming back from the injury. He does look to be getting to that point where his athleticism is almost back to where you'd want it to be, if not already there. So a lot of positives for Zach LaVine.
We're talking with Adam Amin, ESPN play-by-play guy and Chicago native here on Locked On Bulls. You can follow Adam on Twitter at Adam Amin. Adam, people who listen to our show are no strangers to the fact that I was not on board with Jabari Parker signing from day one. I didn't see it as a good fit. I thought it was another ploy by this front office to sell tickets and sell jerseys because the last name of the guy is a guy who is a Chicago native, just like Dwayne Wade. I'm not trying to get you in trouble here, but what were your thoughts of the Parker signing when it happened and seeing what we've seen through training camp, through preseason, and now where we are as Jabari as bench player? What were your thoughts of the Parker signing when it happened and where are you now as far as how he fits into this team?
Yeah, I think there was still a bank on the fact that this is still a guy who's got ways to go, who's got some time to learn. You know, the injury issues that he suffered has kind of pushed back his development a little bit, I think, especially at the defensive end of the floor. So I think the Bulls were kind of investing in the fact that he's hasn't had a ton of mileage yet, that he's got, you know, somewhere to grow to. And he was coming off a good offensive season. Obviously, there, you know, he was a little bit out of the rotation or a little less in the rotation, I should say, during that 7-game series against Boston. But all that being said, you do have to be a little bit careful with him. So I was fine with it. I didn't think it was going out too far on a limb. I don't think it was over-the-top risk, even though it's a guy with a couple of ACL injuries. But, you know, I think obviously he's got a ways to go. He's still proving that, and he's still got a lot to prove, whether it's at the offensive end of the floor. We saw a flash of that last night where he goes through a really solid stretch shooting the basketball, and we've also seen some bad stretches, especially Saturday defensively. I thought, you know, he lacked a little bit of effort at times, and you know, you can watch the film. I think you would probably see that as well. But we also saw more positive steps in the right direction last night defensively, getting in passing lanes, being a little bit more tough on the box. So I think there are some positives there, and it's still just a lot of room to grow right now.
Yeah, I think when we try to put everything into perspective, it's only the first three games of the season. There's 82 in an entire season. And so we try to explain to some fans here who've been with us all summer long. We did 5 episodes a week talking about the Bulls' offseason moves, and everybody was hyped for the beginning of the season. We got to put it in a little bit of a perspective that rebuilds don't happen overnight. They don't happen over 1 year, but it's going to collectively take a handful of years for this team to find their talent and where they're going as a team. I'm curious, though. You spent a lot of time watching college basketball and basketball in general. I'm curious your thoughts on this rookie class, specifically being able to be in front in person and in live, seeing Luka Doncic last night for the Dallas Mavericks, but also what you've seen from Wendell Carter Jr. for the Bulls. Did you like where the guys stacked up in the draft class, and were you happy that the Bulls ended up getting Wendell Carter Jr., maybe as a Bulls fan or an NBA fan in general? And what are your overall thoughts about Luka Doncic?
Yeah, I think Luka Doncic is for real, first and foremost. I think that's the biggest thing that we learned last night, you know, having getting a look at him in person. You know, we saw a little bit of him on tape, and, you know, we saw a little bit of the development in that Minnesota game. Saw the step-back jumper that you really started to see the skill set on display. So that was really cool to see that in person and to obviously have an idea of what he can do. His court vision is excellent. The way he was passing out of couple of double teams, you know, his court vision with guys in the corner on the opposite corner working the baseline. Just there's a lot of really good stuff there, and guys are going to like playing with him. Stacey said that last night. Guys are going to enjoy working with somebody that has an advanced skill set as a passer. So guys are going to appreciate that, and he's not the type of player, it seems like, to force up a whole lot. So I think he's a guy who wants to play within the flow of the offense, which is always a good thing. So I really like Luka Doncic. To answer your other question about just development over the course of a period of time, and even with Wendell Carter Jr., I still think he's got a ways to go, as we mentioned, but he's 19 years old. You know, Luka Doncic has played in the EuroLeague. He's been a pro player for quite some time, even though he's about the same age. Wendell Carter Jr. played 1 year at Duke against, half a really good league and played through an NCAA tournament run. So he's still got weight to put on. He still has body, some muscle mass to put on, some training to do. You know, he's a good shot blocker, I think. I think he's got the potential for that to be a solid rim protector, but he's not big enough to really challenge and deter on a consistent basis. So I think he's got some room to grow, both physically and mentally, and as a guy with a really high basketball IQ. Like, Wendell Carter Jr. is one of the smarter guys you're going to meet. Remember, this guy had a chance to go play basketball at Harvard if he wanted to. So he's really got a high IQ for the game. He's just got some physical development and some experience to get under his belt.
Real quick, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on Trae Young? So obviously Luka Doncic being a part of that trade between the Hawks and the Mavericks over the summer. Thoughts on Trae Young? It seems like it's polarized among fans of the NBA and college basketball fans. Some thought he was never going to be a star in this league. Some think he's already a star after three games. Where do you sit with Trae Young after his 35-point, 12-assist performance just in the first three games?
I mean, we knew that he had a special skill set. Just seeing him with an okay Oklahoma team last year, wasn't like a superstar laden Oklahoma team last season. So he really did make guys around him better. He really did do a good job of putting guys in position to do good things on the floor around him, even though they were a little lesser skilled than him. So now he's got guys around him at the NBA level. He's going to be able to get double-digit assists on a more consistent basis. We're going to see that happen with some frequency. So that's good to see. He's a little small, a little thin. I still don't know how he's going to defend against some bigger guards on a nightly basis, but I mean, he's going to earn his way on the floor. I mean, he's going to be out there, and rightfully so. You want a guy that has that ability to shoot, to space the floor, and obviously when the floor is spaced, he does a really good job of finding guys in good spots to shoot.
Going back to the Bulls for a minute, Adam, of course, after the news about Chris Dunn came out earlier today, and we touched on that a bit ago, of course, Bulls Twitter was rife with those people saying, all right, well, the tank is back on. Here we go. Just like the 17-18 season, I guess we got a tank again. It's all fun and games. And of course, there's some discouragement among Bulls fans right now. But from your perspective, and let's say put yourself in the shoes of this Bulls organization, with Dunn now somewhere out between 14, maybe even upwards of 20 games, Markkanen still not coming back for at least a month, say they struggle, and it's not just an 0-3 start, but they really struggle with missing Dunn and missing Markkanen. LaVine can't win games by himself. They can't play any defense. By the time Dunn and Markkanen get back, if this team is well below 500 and not in the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference, weak as it might be, do you think it's in their best interest to just steer into the tank for a second season and go for a high lottery pick? Because unlike 2018, when they were lucky to get Wendell with the 7th pick, there is some serious talent in this 2019 draft class, but it is not as deep. So are you believing in the Bulls' best interest, assuming they struggle for the first few months of this season, to being, let's get back into the high end of that lottery once again?
Not really. I don't think so. I think I don't think anybody's going to be out of the playoffs after 25 games either. So I think the premise is a little off on that. Just because I think you can't mail it in when you're a month in or 2 months in. I think that's silly for any NBA team, for any professional organization. I agree with you. The next draft class is not going to be as laden with talent. So it's not like there's a whole purpose to do so. I'm sure there's going to be guys that stick out over the course of this year, some one and done guys that are going to win the hearts and minds of other people, but I'm not for tanking. For the most part, I don't think there's as much value to it for a younger team that's going to struggle more than likely anyway, even if you do add another young piece to it. To me, it's more about development right now than anything else. So when you have this young of a core, this is the second youngest team in the NBA. So I still feel like there's more value in playing well and attempting to play well. And if you're going to lose games in the process, so be it. I think that's the thing that's a little bit tougher. Tanking is one thing, but you have to keep in mind development and try to keep some kind of organization for rotations and things like that. You can't just say, all right, well, you need minutes, go play. It's got to be in the flow of what's happening with the personnel that are on the floor.
I'm in complete agreement with you, and that's kind of, Matt and I have gone back and forth all summer long. He's like, no, we need to be in the top of the lottery again next season. Adding Jabari Parker only kind of masks some of those things before we saw what he was going to be able to do. I was more in the camp of, even if the Bulls do win somewhere between 30 and 37 games, at least that's a step in the right direction. And these guys said, and even came out of Zach LaVine's mouth last night, saying that we've got to learn how to win. And at some point, a young team, as much as it is nice to collect assets, you have to learn how to win at some point. So I'm with you. I do like tanking in certain situations like the Bulls were in last year. But overall, I'd rather see the guys that you have on your roster develop as players. Quickly, I want to go to a broader NBA, and I'm curious from a broadcaster standpoint. So the fight that happened the other night with Rajon Rondo and Chris Paul, from a broadcaster standpoint, have you ever been in a situation where you've been on air where a brawl all of a sudden starts, whether it's in a football or basketball game or what have you, or an altercation starts and all of a sudden you find yourself calling a play-by-play, almost like a boxing-style play-by-play? Has that ever happened to you? And what do you do as a broadcaster when a situation arises like the one the other night against the Lakers and the Rockets?
Yeah, I've done a Thunder Warriors game that saw a little bit of a scuffle. Nothing too crazy, but when the pushing and shoving starts, you just call it. You call it as you see it, and you try to direct traffic. And, you know, Mike Breen has called a bunch of those in his career, including the Malice at the Palace, maybe most infamously. But
Ingram, who's usually pretty mild-mannered, was hot. Now Paul punches a throw. Paul and Rondo throwing punches. Ingram comes in. He's throwing punches. Security trying to separate, so are some of the teammates. Boy, that quickly erupted into something ugly.
He always just said, like, I just go back to describing it. Like, you tell people what's going on, and it's that simple. So, yeah, I've been in those spots before, and I just follow Mike's advice, and he's a good guy to follow advice of. So,
fair enough. Maybe it was a fight, or maybe it was a buzzer beater, or maybe it was a Hail Mary. As we move away from getting your thoughts on the Bulls, Adam, we really enjoy your work as a play-by-play guy. So we want to ask you some career questions. Favorite moment that you have called as a play-by-play guy, whatever sport it may be. And I know that's probably a hard question, but it's probably one that you get more than once. So you probably have an answer ready, right?
I mean, it is always hard too. You know, there's a couple out there that I've been lucky to be a part of, and maybe most, I guess notably just maybe because of the rarity of the situation, but the buzzer beater in the women's Final Four, to have two of them in back-to-back games.
Go for a trip to the national championship. Ogunma Wale. Good! 1 second remaining. No timeouts for UConn. Williams down the floor. Samuelson. Notre Dame with the win, off to the title game. Ogunma Wale for the win. Good! Arike Ogunma Wale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
Obviously, that was cool. That's something we may never see again. So fun to be a part of a rare moment, and maybe LeBron James being a part of a buzzer beater call in the NBA playoffs that called game three of the Toronto-Cleveland series in the second round this past season.
Make sure you do not foul anybody here on the dribble. It's going to be James. Sure. Here it is. It's under, it's
3 seconds to go.
Throws up the floater. Oh, yeah. Good night, Cleveland. That is for you.
And it was awesome to be a part of a moment,
Adam,
like that. So
it was a great call, man, but you're not going to make a lot of friends on our Bulls podcast with that answer. I'm telling you right now.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to say? I wasn't here for Jordan. I wasn't here for, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
Well, I think Matt and I have gone back and forth on LeBron a lot, and you can, if you're part of that moment, just going back and watching that highlight is absolutely ridiculous. Some of the things he's able to do in some of the moments. I'm curious though, from a standpoint of partners go, one, I'm always curious, have you ever done a game with Bill Walton before? And if you were paired up with somebody, who is somebody that you haven't been paired with before that is a dream, is the whale that you would say is you're catching as far as being a broadcasting partner with you?
Man, that's tough. There's a lot of great ones out there that I've never gotten a chance to work with. And, you know, there's so many at the top level. I've been lucky to work with a lot of guys. Haven't worked with Bill Walton yet, unfortunately, but maybe some point down the line. He's a great, great guy and just a delight to be around. I think in years past, I would have loved to have worked with like John Madden. That would have been like the coolest thing ever to me. You know, one of the pioneers of how analysts do their jobs now on television. I think that would have been awesome to have that chance. I'd love to work with I've never done a game with Jay Billis, actually. I think that'd be a lot of fun. We all know how entertaining he can be and sometimes honest to a fault. And I think that's fun. I think that's entertaining.
Adam, as someone who obviously grows up as a big sports fan and grew up in the great sports town that is Chicago, who is now working in sports broadcasting as a play-by-play guy, play-by-play announcers have to be, you know, nonpartisan. They have to be someone who can sit there and describe the action without taking sides. And if you're part of a hometown broadcast, like you are filling in for Neil Funk and alongside Stacey King, they certainly with their broadcasts have a Bulls positive kind of perspective when they're calling the games. I'm curious if you've ever had any challenges with that going from, you know, Jordan and I, like we quasi work in the sports media business because we have a podcast about the Bulls, but it is very much from the fans' perspective. Have there ever been challenging moments in your career where you have to kind of remind yourself, I am not a fan right now. I am a broadcaster right now.
Not really. And that's tough. It is a tough thing to do. And I've had to fight it a couple times, especially, you know, having done Cubs games, Bulls games on national TV, national radio, Bears games on national radio, whatever it may be. But you know, I don't really worry about it. The job is the job, and I just like doing the job. My fandom gets a little bit, I think, blunted once you get to this position. You know, it's the nature of the business, and it's the nature of you know, evolving as a person, I think, too. But I also don't think that, you know, I think the difference in a place like Chicago is that people are, like, I think the Bulls recognize, I think most fan bases are this way too around the country. But I'd like to think that, you know, the organizations in this city recognize that there are smart fans in this city and they don't need to be talked down to. I'm not saying you have to absolutely crush a team. And I don't like crushing teams during games anyway, because especially in the regular season, we're doing one game out of 82 that night. Like one game does not make a season. You can't just absolutely crush a team for that. And if they've got flaws, those flaws are who they are. Everybody can see them. You don't have to lie about it. So I think keeping it balanced is important. And obviously I think for me, a homer call or doing a home broadcast, it's more so just being excited about your team. I can get excited about plays that Luka Doncic makes. I may not be as happy as about the result, and you may be able to hear that, but I'm not going to insult the guy or say that wasn't awesome when he did something awesome. Like, that's cool. Like, it's fun. I think it's okay to appreciate those things. So at the end of the day, this stuff really isn't that important. You don't have to, you know, it's not life or death stuff. This is sports. It's supposed to be fun. And yeah, it sucks when our team loses. Nobody likes that. But at the end of the day, it's entertainment. You know, it's entertainment for entertainment's sake. And we just kind of take it at face value.
As far as the NBA goes, just looking at the entire landscape, what is going to be one of the stories, no matter where you're broadcasting, what sport you're broadcasting, what's the one storyline that you're going to try and follow throughout the NBA season, whether it be LeBron or Kawhi in Toronto or maybe this Boston Celtics team? What's the one that you're focusing on the most throughout this NBA season?
I mean, LeBron's going to dominate the headlines, and probably rightfully so, so you can't get away from that. So if you're only going to narrow it down to one, that's the one. He is the gravitational player in this league, and there's no getting away from that, nor should you try to fight that. You gotta stack up to that. If you're expanding it out beyond just LeBron, obviously the big free agent signings and trades and everything like that, the major players that have shifted conferences, that's important. Kawhi probably being chief among them in the East. And then what's Boston going to look like over the course of the season? I think that'll be the next question I have, because you know what the West is going to look like outside of LeBron for the most part, you know, in some order, Golden State, Houston, probably up or near the top, and everybody else kind of filling in the 3 through 6. New Orleans is probably going to be fighting for that one seed as well. So you'll see the rest of the teams fill out outside of LeBron. And then in the East, it's kind of the top heaviness of it. So those are the things I think we're going to track more than anything else.
One last question for you here. I know that if you talk to anybody here in Chicago, the cliche is deep dish pizza in the city, and I get it, but 95% of people that grew up here in the city know that the thin crust pizza is just as good as the deep dish. But well, if you were...
Objection, Your Honor, but go ahead. That's bullshit. 95%? Where the fuck did you get that number, Jordan?
Normal people will agree that the thin crust...
Normal, okay. I'm gonna let you finish your question, but let the record show that I object to this.
Thin crust pizza is just as good in the city of Chicago as the deep dish is. But if you were sat down and you could only have one place for the rest of your life, Lou Malnati's, Giordano's, Gino's East, Uno's, whatever have you, which place are you going to and which spot do you hit most often here in the city?
If I'm picking one deep dish slice for the rest of my life?
One deep dish slice for the rest of your life.
Yeah, for me, it's Giordano's because it was the first deep dish I had. And I like the overall balance of it. I think Malnati's has probably the best overall pizza. I think Gino's has the best crust. Giordano's to me is the most balanced of them all. And I think their sauce is the best. So that's probably what I would choose there, man.
All right.
Am I crazy for saying that the thin crust is just as good as deep dish here in the city?
Yes. Yes, you're crazy.
Yeah, because, I mean, I like thin crust as much as I like deep dish, but I don't know if the sheer volume of good deep dish pizza outweighs the sheer volume of thin crust pizza in the city.
I guess I'm on my own.
You're out of your element, Jordan. All right, Adam, last one, I promise. We have really enjoyed talking to Adam Amin, ESPN play-by-play guy, but I want to get an answer from Adam Amin, kid who grew up, went to Addison Trail in the Chicago suburbs, grew up watching Michael Jordan and the Bulls dynasty of the 90s. Favorite moment from the Bulls dynasty watching as a kid? Maybe it's a game you went to at Old Chicago Stadium or the United Center. Maybe it's a game that you vividly remember watching, you know, from your living room at home. Best moment of your 90s Bulls fan childhood? Go.
Man, I think it would have to be... It's got to be the shot of a Russell. I think that's the iconic of iconic moments in league history to close out a dynasty the way that they did in 98. Mm-hmm. So that moment probably sticks out more than anything else. I think the game that probably sticks out is the flu game in 97. So that's probably the best game I think I remember watching, just because there was such hype and buildup around it with the way NBC produced it. They were, you know, talking about how he couldn't get up in the morning. He was vomiting all day. Ahmad Rashad had like his entire vomiting schedule on TV that day.
So, right. Yeah.
Like just the way they presented it, you know, and you're a young kid. I was, you know, 11, 12 years old, something like that. So for me, I'm like, I'm all in. I'm all in on the drama of the theater of it all. And to see him muscle through it the way he did, that's probably the best game I've ever seen.
Hard to disagree with that, man. Adam, we appreciate your time. We know how busy you are. ESPN has you all over the place these days. And we appreciate you stopping by the show. He's Adam Amin. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam Amin. You can catch his play-by-play action for ESPN all over the place, college football, NFL. He's filling in for Neil Funk on some away games for the Bulls this season alongside Stacey King. He is such a pleasure to talk to you. Adam, thanks for the time, man. We hope to talk to you again sometime soon.
Thanks, Adam.
No worries, guys. You guys too. Thanks, guys.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Want to thank our guest, Adam Amin, from ESPN play-by-play broadcaster. You'll see him again, and you'll hear him actually later this month, early into November. We'll be doing the Celtics game when the Bulls head to Boston, so make sure to check him out there, and I'm sure this isn't the last few times that we'll see him as a Bulls broadcaster this season, but you can follow him on Twitter at Adam Amin. hear all this broadcast. You'll probably hear him this weekend if you're watching college football. So thanks again to Chicago native Adam Amin for jumping on the show. Live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on social media at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. On Instagram, at Locked On Bulls. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up with all of your Chris Dunn reaction to tonight's game against the Hornets, and so much more. We'd love to hear from you. 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, and our guest, Adam Amin. We are out. Bulls Nation, be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Go for a trip to the national championship. Ogunbowale. Good!
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com